The book of Esther. Turn there. The book of Esther. I'll kind of go back through everything here a little bit for you and remind you kind of what we were studying. We were talking about last Sunday morning and Sunday night about the typology and the pictures of the soul that God gives us in the Bible. And I can remember a few years ago studying the book of Esther, but I was looking at the prophetic part of it, seeing how God was going to save Israel in the last days. And Brother Mike Hutzel came and just preached this amazing message out of the book of Esther, and I never saw that. And it just kind of goes to show you that even in Christianity, we're not isolated one from another. We all have something to learn from one another. When I go to like the conferences I go to up in Fargo or down in Harrison, Arkansas, I'm there to listen more than anything. I'm there to learn. I'm there to hear what somebody else has to say. And then I give my 2 cents worth. And so it's good to be a listener. It's good to hear what some other men have to say. So we're going to start out in the book of Esther. I'm going to kind of roll through very quickly just to kind of get us our minds back where it needs to be on the types and the shadows. And I saw something else today that I never saw before. That just another thing. If you go back and reread parts of your Bible you've already read, I guarantee you there's something else there. You're just going, look at that. Never saw it before. And I'm upstairs. I'm just thanking God. God, that's pretty good. So anyway, let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll get back into our mindset of what it is we're studying and how God's going to give us some wisdom from this. All right? I appreciate you being here. Appreciate everybody online visiting with us. And I'm going to go ahead and say this again. This will be on the recorded part, so that people who are not watching live will be able to hear this. But we're going to try to move our Sunday afternoon service to 4 p.m. Central instead of 6 p.m. Central. And that'll give some folks time it'll be 5 o'clock when we're done. And it normally will be getting dark about 5:30 once winter fully kicks in. So that'll get some people home before it gets dark. I know we have some folk who don't come on Sunday night specifically because it gets dark that early and they can't drive very well. So we don't mind helping people out. It kind of shortens the day. It's a long day here Sunday. So anyway, just make by way of announcement, and then let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you, God, for gathering us in this place tonight. I thank you, dear God, for those, Lord, who are interested in studying your word. I pray that it would be a blessing to them. I pray, Lord, that it would open our eyes and help us to see, Lord, the things that are going on outside of our worldly knowledge, of our worldly sight. Lord, things that we can't hear with our ears, Father, we can see very plainly and know them from your word. Father, we just thank you, God, for opening our eyes to the beauty and the wonder of this book. God, help us, Lord, never walk away from this. For right in here, Lord, are the key principles of life and salvation. Father, we just ask God that you open up our minds even further. Show us great and mighty things that we need. Thank you, God, for showing me something, Lord, I never saw before. Lord, I just thank you for it and I praise you for it. God, just open up our hearts tonight, we pray in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Up on the screen. See if I can get it up on the screen. Is that up on the screen? There we go. Proverbs 8:32. We have wisdom characterized as a woman. That is God's wisdom shining into your soul or dealing with your soul. Your soul is always going to be wiser than your flesh. How many of you know that already? Your soul is going to respond to God in ways that your flesh is going to be hesitant to. And we're going to start to see that tonight. So he says in Proverbs 8:32, "Now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction, and be wise, and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me." Now think of your flesh as that man. "Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoso findeth me, findeth life." Do you consider that? "And shall obtain favor of the Lord." Verse 36. that he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. Now he's connected it. And all they that hate me love death. So ponder this now. This is your soul. And the wisdom that God imparts to your soul through his spirit and through his word. And your soul now is trying to tell your flesh, listen, flesh, listen, mister. I want to go to heaven when you die. Okay? I don't want to be drugged down to hell with you. I want to go to heaven. Now, if you'll follow me, Mr. Flesh, Mr. Body, God will give you a new start in life. He'll create a new body that's born in righteousness. Somebody say amen. Okay? So that's what's going on here. That's what's being said here. So in the Bible, we have two types of women in typology. And that was one of the things I caught on to in the book of Esther. I never saw it before until this afternoon. I'm glad God let me see it. So the first woman is a daughter of Zion. This is a soul that is following the Lord. Sing, O daughter of Zion, shout, O Israel, be glad and rejoice with all the heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. Think of our mother is Jerusalem above, Galatians 4. Zechariah 2:10, sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for lo, I come, and I will dwell in the midst of thee, saith the Lord. Zechariah 9:9, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion, shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, he is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. Then we have the other woman, okay? She's got a wine glass in one hand, marijuana in the other. Okay? She's a drunkard. Psalm 137:8, O daughter of Babylon, that's her, who art to be destroyed. Happy shall he be that rewardeth thee as thou hast served us. Jeremiah 50, verse 42, they shall hold the bow and the lance. They're cruel and will not show mercy. Their voice shall roar like the sea. They shall ride upon horses. Everyone put in array like a man to battle against thee, O daughter of Babylon. The daughter of Babylon is doomed. God's going to destroy her and her mother. We're going to get them both. Jeremiah 51, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, the daughter of Babylon is like a threshing floor. It is time to thresh her. Yet a little while, and the time of her harvest shall come. God's going to deal with it. She represents, when he mentions the harvest here, I think she represents the tares that were sown in among the wheat. Okay? She represents all that's false and bad and wicked and hell-deserving in this world. That's who she represents. And God is going to separate her one of these days, just like the wheat on this side and the tares on this side. God's going to separate her, but he's going to wait until the time of harvest. All right. So we started into the book of Esther last Sunday night. And let me just pull up here on the screen. And there's one more thing I'm going to add here. All right? I'm not going to add it right this minute, but we're going to head in that direction. Number one, King Ahasuerus in the book of Esther is the type of the person. Okay? That's Ron, that's you. Okay? That is the outside Ron. One of these days, Ron's going to die, or the Lord's going to call us all up at the same time. I saw him smile on that one. I said, die, and he's going. I said, oh, Lord, call us up. And he went, I'm there. Amen. Okay. But what's going to happen is the old Ron face is going to go away. God's going to give him a new Ron face and a new Ron name and a new Ron body. And everything's all brand new. Amen. And it won't fade away. You'll still have the new car smell a million years from now. Amen. Okay. So you're going to get it one of these days. But if you'll listen to her wisdom, God dealing with your soul, your soul's telling you, I don't want to go to hell. Remember that? When you went to an altar or you came before the Lord, that was your soul. Okay? Now watch this. Mordecai is Esther's, who'd we say that was? Uncle. He's a type of Jesus Christ. He's the King of the Jews. He's the Lord. You're going to see Mordecai riding in on a white horse, triumphant, all right? Haman is Satan the destroyer. Haman, we're going to see it tonight, hates Mordecai and everybody related to Mordecai. Okay? And there's a reason why, and you're going to see it. Esther is the wife of King Ahasuerus. She is the wife of the king, or she is the soul of the person. Okay? And you're gonna follow the ring. You write that down. Follow the ring. Okay? And there's one more character to add here. Because I've read this, I don't know how many times, and I saw tonight Haman, who is who? Who's Haman? He's Satan. He's the devil. He has a wife, specifically mentioned by name in the book of Esther. She's the one that put him up to do certain things. Bingo. Do everybody hear what Ryan said? Ryan's the smartest one in the class. Okay, he gets the lollipop at the end of the service. What did you say, Ryan? Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Haman's wife, specifically mentioned in here. I'm looking at this and I'm going, her name is Zeresh or Zeresh. She is Haman's wife, and she's the one that provoked him to do a certain thing. You're going to see it, all right, if I ever shut my mouth and get to the scripture. Now watch this. Let's go to Esther chapter 3. Open your Bible up, because I may read more than what's on the screen. This is Bible study time. We're just going to study the Bible. Esther chapter 3, verse 1. After these things did King Ahasuerus, now I want you to look at your Bible. What did he do to Haman? He promoted him. Now I want you to listen. Here we're going to stop right. It didn't take us but about six words to get into it, and we're going to stop right here for a minute. This is you now before you were saved. This is you before you were saved. This is you promote. Who is Haman? He's Satan. This is you promoting Satan to be a counselor or someone who leads you or whatever. Stop and think about this. Even in the Bible, the king or the one in charge very rarely made his own decision. Almost without fail, the king always received counsel from someone. In the days of Rehoboam, the king, the son of Solomon, Rehoboam was presented with this offer by the elders of Israel saying, if you'll cut our taxes, we'll serve you. Your father, he's a great man, he laid too many taxes on us. You'll cut our taxes, we'll serve you. Rehoboam went to the elder counselors that his daddy had, and his counselors said, son, if you'll cut their taxes, you won't have any problems. You'll have the greatest kingdom. You probably have a better kingdom than your daddy did. Then he went to his young advisors, his buddies, who were feeding off his riches. They counseled him unwisely, and they said, shoot, I'd lay it on him. And that's what he did. Okay? Now, here's you. You think now that since you don't go to church, and you're not reading the Bible, and you're not following the Ten Commandments, that you are doing your own thing. Who in here really believes that? After you've come out of that, you now look back and realize that you were just strung along by the devil, and whatever the devil told you to do, that's what he did. That's what you did. Okay? I've got Brother Ron DeGonia coming here in a few weeks, and he's never told a lot of his testimony, but he's told me some things. I'm not going to share anything that he hasn't said, but I will tell you that he told me that at one time in his life, he knew for a fact the devil came and sat right on his chest and said, I can make you do whatever I want you to do. He said, I knew it. I knew it that night. And he said, that night was a wake-up call for me. He said, I needed to get my life back in church. I needed to get my heart right with God. He said, it scared him. That's what it did. Because of where the devil had taken him was a very, very dark and a bad place. And he realized he didn't want to stay there, and God brought him back out. He cried out to the Lord. God brought him back out. That's how God does it with us. Amen? But the devil, you promoted the devil. Everything you drank was... When you drink and get all liquored up, who does that honor? Does that honor God or the devil? They're even naming alcoholic beverages now and glorifying Satan with it. Who was it? Is it Jack Daniels that has what's called the Devil's Cut? Some kind of, it's a brand of whiskey that is left over in the barrel, and they do something with the remnants in the barrel after they dump the whiskey out, and they draw all that out and they sell that and call that the Devil's Cut. There's like alcohol called 666 and stuff like that. I mean, this stuff honors the devil. Amen? Okay? When you drank, when you were sleeping around, when you were telling dirty jokes, when you were smoking dope or taking drugs or whatever it was you were doing, when you were full of pride, listen, the devil's sin was pride. That's what God specifically said about the devil was, till the day that pride entered into thee. And so when you were too proud to fall down and serve God, you were honoring the devil and you were promoting him. And yet all the while you're thinking, I'm doing what I want to do. I'll live my life. No preacher's going to tell me what to do. And there's the devil going, come on, boy. Come on, girl. I can make you do whatever I want to. Now watch this, okay? The king had you ever promote Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, and advanced him. Now you listen to me. Haman was one of those, and we see it right now in the political structures that we have. There's the president of the United States. Barack Obama, when he came in to be president, here's Rahm Emanuel hanging right on his coattails, and now all of a sudden Rahm Emanuel, this Jew, is right in the midst of the White House. And he's got probably the most power of any man on this planet because he is the chief advisor of the president of the United States. He then takes that and spins that into getting to be the mayor of Chicago. Okay? And all he did was use that for Hillary Clinton. What qualifications does she have to be president of the United States? She slept with the president of the United States. She rode Bill Clinton's coattails all the way into the White House for 8 years and wants another 8. Ought not let it happen. Amen. Amen. Watch this. When you live your life for the devil, you are promoting him on every turn. And buddy, I want to tell you something. He will walk all over the top of you to get where he wants to go. And I'm going to show it to you. It's in your Bible. It's in this book. So anyway, advanced him and set his what? We're still in verse. We haven't even got a verse 1 yet. Set his seat above all the princes that were with him. Hold your place right there, because now we're going to start turning. First place I'm going to tell you to turn is, let's see here. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14. I decided about 17, 18 years ago, probably about 18 years ago, if I was going to study conspiracy theories, I'll just study the ones in the Bible. That way I know they're true. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12. And these things I've gone over and read over so many times, and yet there are so many applications. I have Isaiah 14, 12 through 14 memorized. Not because I'm some, but I've read this so many times. And then so many times in studying things, I've gone back to this same passage. Because right here, it's telling you the devil's agenda. Look at what it says. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? Now, if you don't believe the King James Bible, this will mess you up. Because all the other translations call Lucifer here morning star or day star. That's wicked. You shake your head in disgust. That is wicked. Amen? By the way, Lucifer, does anybody know what the word means? Light bearer. Now, I want you to see how right your Bible is and how right those King James translators were. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 11, Satan himself is transformed into a what? Angel of light. An angel is a messenger of light. That's what the word Lucifer means. There's a double witness in your Bible that the name and the ascription that's given to him by Paul match perfectly. He is a messenger or a bringer of light, an angel of light. O Lucifer, son of the morning, how art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? Verse 13, for thou hast said in thine heart, number one, I will ascend into heaven. Now you think about it. What did God reduce the serpent to in the Garden of Eden? Took his legs out from him. Okay? Even roaches don't drag the ground when they walk. They have legs. Lizards don't drag the ground when they walk. Serpents are the most low down life that there is. They don't have a choice but to drag across the lowest parts in order to move around. That's what God did. That's what God is showing you. So here is the lowest thing that seeks to climb to the highest. If you go back here, Mordecai did that with Haman. Haman apparently must have been something down here, and yet Ahasuerus kind of liked him, kind of started listening to his ideas a little bit. Said, you know, I like Haman. Boy, he's got ideas that'll make me rich. That'll make me whatever. That'll give me a lot of stuff. And so he starts promoting Haman. And then he sets Haman atop all the other, the word is princes. We'll find out that word here in a little bit. So back in Isaiah, I will ascend into heaven. Number two, I will exalt my throne. A throne is where you sit. That's his seat. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. The stars of God are the angels, the angelic realm. The angels of heaven are up here. Satan's down here. He's going to establish his throne. In fact, there's a perfect illustration of this. I don't know too many things about astronomy, but I do know this. North is up, right? Always is. I don't care where you go and how far back you go, north is up. The North Star is the fixed star. It's called Polaris. It's at the pole, and it just stays in one spot all year long. That's how the navigators knew at night where north was. Okay? There is a constellation that circles the North Star called Draco, the dragon. Look at this. He's down here, and he seeks to be the most high up there. Well, that's good, isn't it? Then watch this. Verse number three, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation. The congregation in the sides of the north, that's where Polaris is. That's where Draco is. The congregation is this right here. Now, you hang on to that one. Because Haman is fixing to get put out big time. Not by Ahasuerus, by Mordecai. Okay? I'm going to show you. You're going to, listen, this Bible is going to peel back layers of Lucifer for you, so you'll go, look at there, I know exactly who you are down on the inside of you. In fact, none of these things did Lucifer ever say. If you look at verse 13 again, for thou hast said in thine heart. He never said them out loud. God read his heart and said, this is who you are, Jack. I know you. I made you. This is how you are. And I want to tell you something. His goal is to sit and rule over this church, this congregation. You believe that? I do. I've known it for years. Okay? He wants this pulpit. He wants this stand right here. He wants to be able to say what he wants you to think and believe, and it will not be this book, I guarantee you. I'm promoting this. I don't do this for anybody. But there's a man that I consider him my friend. My brother's name's Chris Pinto. He's got a new video out called Bridge to Babylon. Did I give you a copy of it? Okay? There's a copy on my desk. John got done with his, and so it's yours next. Okay? You want a copy, it's yours. You got to watch this thing. In fact, it's the third part of a series where Chris Pinto shows you the hand of the Vatican in all these Bible translations. Listen, the Vatican is Babylon. She is Haman's wife. You'll see it, okay? She's got her hand in removing the Word of God out of the churches. Why? Because once he's gone, Lucifer comes and stands in his place. And what's coming out of pulpits across the country and across the world is nothing but doctrines of devils. Going into people's, amen! Listen, I heard people on the internet shout. He wants to sit and control the congregation. He wants to lord over them, and he'll do it one church member at a time. He may not be able to get all, but I think he thinks he can get all of them. But he'll do it. If he can't do it whole, he'll do it piecemeal. So watch yourself. Then number four, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. Number five, I will be like who? Most High. God is the Most High. Now think about it. Think about, well, watch this. This is good. Okay? When they put someone to guard, like a fortress or a city, did they have them lay down on the ground to do that? Why not? Can't see. Where's the devil? What can he see? Not much. About 2 feet in front of him. The rest of him just uses his tongue to figure out what's going on around him. Right? That's why they do that. They're going, tasting the air, seeing what's around. Because they can't see anything. God, there's nothing higher than God. So what can God see? Everything. And you know what that applies to? Time. It applies to time. God can see everything in time that there ever was and ever will be. God sees all of time all at once. Because not even time is higher than God. Isn't that cool? What can the devil see? Nothing. That's why he entered into Judas Iscariot. Because remember, God hid from the princes and the principalities and the powers of this world his plan to have Jesus crucified. The Bible tells you that. God hid that from those principalities and powers, and that's what the devil is. God did not let, the devil could not see past killing Jesus. If he could, if all he had to do was see 3 days in the future, if he could see 3 days in the future, he would go, okay, plan A. Scratch plan A. We need plan B. We need a woman. Okay? Let's try to bring this guy down with a woman. Plan A was, let's kill him so we can have the inheritance. Didn't work. Because God healed him of death. Amen? Raised him back up, and the devil's going, uh-oh. I smelled that 3 days ago. Oh, no. So that's his plan. Amen? I will be like the Most High. You can teach that on your own without doing the tongue and all that stuff, all right? Now turn to Ezekiel. Turn to Ezekiel. Let me, and while you're turning there, let me read this again. Did King Ahasuerus promote Haman and advanced him and set his seat above all the princes that were with him? So in Ezekiel chapter 28, did you notice what your Bible says? And again, I want you to remember this. Any one of us that fails in our responsibilities and our duties to Jesus Christ, in those failures, we do promote Haman. We promote Satan. Okay? How many church scandals are going on right now all over the country? How many church members? I hear this stuff all the time. Pastor I know just recently had an issue where found out the treasurer and somebody on the board was just pulling money out of the church treasury right and left. Any cash that went into the offering plate was going right into their pocket. It was never even counted. They were using that. They were buying stuff all over town with it. Using church credit accounts and stuff like that for their own person. I mean, that stuff was going on all the... Another pastor I know, he had the church secretary and treasurer, got into one of these gambling casinos out in Oklahoma, which used up about $40,000 to $45,000 worth of church money at the casinos. She tried, when it was found out, she tried to kill herself, and her husband promised that he would pay it all back. And then pastors getting off into adultery or sodomy or anything else. It's going on right and left, people. Okay? You know what these guys, it's a setup. These guys are doing more to promote Haman than the drunkards up here at the VFW hall. Because the lost people see that and they're going, well, I'm better than that. I don't even go to church. Why should I go? Okay? So, I mean, it's working. Look at Ezekiel 28, verse 1. The word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto the, look at that word there, prince. The word prince in your Bible, it will always reference an earthly prince and then a spiritual one. Okay? Was there a prince of Tyrus? Yeah. There was a king in Tyrus. In Solomon's day, his name was Hiram, King Hiram. All right? Is there a spiritual prince? Yes. You don't turn there, but Ephesians 6, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. We're fighting devils who are a prince over certain areas. I became aware of a prince or princes out in Kenya, in Migori, Kenya. Okay? I'm going, we're out of their territory, and I feel fine now. I mean, it just was, I'd never forget it. It was just like that. We drove about 4 or 5 miles out of town, and boom, all of a sudden, I mean, it was gone. The light came out, and I'm just going, I feel great. I feel like preaching. Okay? And it dawned on me that we were outside of a territory. And I taught this down in Gainesville, and I've mentioned it here before. Beasts will always mark territory. Right? Who's got a dog? Got a dog? They mark territory. Bears will do it. Deer will do it. Any kind of animal will mark their... This is my area right here. Spirits will do that. They will mark their domain. And I want to tell you something. When you bring Christ into a principality's domain, they're not going to be happy about it. Okay? Whenever you encroach in the woods, if you're walking through the woods and you encroach into an animal's domain, be ready. Because I don't care what kind of animal it is, they will turn on you. Okay? So just kind of ponder that. And so here we have a prince. He is the prince of Tyrus. God has given him an authority over the area of Tyrus. Thus saith the Lord God, because thine heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am a... And notice in your King James Bible, capital G. A God, capital G. Not just any God, that one. I sit in the seat of God. Notice that back in Esther. He set his seat above all the princes that were with him. Here's Haman now. He's been taken from a low place and exalted above all the other princes. Here is Satan now. His goal is to be exalted, to set himself above the stars of God, above all the angelic realm, all those princes. There's just one prince that he can't exalt himself over. The Prince of Peace. Amen? Now watch it. He's going to try it. And he did. Okay, we'll get to that in a minute. Because thine heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am a God, I sit in the seat of God, in the midst of the seas. You know where I'm going with this? Right here. Your heart is in the midst of a sea. It's the pericardium. Salt water surrounds your heart. Your heart is swimming in the ocean. And the throne of God, John saw it, Ezekiel saw it, said there was a firmament, a sea of glass, clear as crystal, an ocean. Here's God's throne sitting right in the midst of that. Here's your heart. Look at your Bible again. He said, I sit in the seat of God in the midst of the seas. He wants to rule out of everybody's heart. He wants to, watch this now, this body was designed to be the temple of God. God built it for... Think about it, Sterling. You got mad. How long ago did you build that house? Late 70s? The house you live in right now, late 70s? You started building on that? He got it almost built. Somebody broke in, stole half his stuff out of there before they ever even moved in. That made you mad, didn't it? How would you feel if the guy stayed in there and you said, get out of my house, and the guy says, I live here now. I know Sterling. Yeah, that back then you could have got away with it. How would you feel if you had a house that was built for you and you were ready to move in? You found out there were vagrants in there and some judge said, well, they can stay there. That's their home. It's called the housing crisis of 2008 and 2009. Amen. This is a temple that God built specifically for him to dwell in. The devil says, I'm going to sit in that house. I'm going to sit in God's temple and I'm going to make everybody think I'm God. I am a God. I sit in the seat of God in the midst of the seas. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians 2. Well, I'm having more fun than puppy dogs. Yeah. Was that you? Pam, was that you? Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by NIV. Nor by a New King James or a New American Standard Bible. Listen, that's what Chris brought out in that video. He said, by letter as from us, Paul realized that the Gnostics and the heathens were already making copies of some of his letters and perverting them. And they were already writing false gospel stories. The gospel of Barnabas, the gospel of Mary Magdalene, the gospel of Judas Iscariot. Okay? They were already writing false gospels. And Paul said, if you receive a letter as from us, in other words, with our apostle's name on it, and it doesn't say what I'm about to tell you, don't be deceived by it. Amen. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he is God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. That's Haman. Haman is climbing the ladder, people. Satan is climbing the ladder. He wants to be exalted. I'll give you an analogy. Turn to Psalm chapter 2, and I'll teach you a little. I'm going to give you a yoga lesson. You ready for a yoga lesson? Not really. Yoga, there's a branch of yoga called Kundalini. Sounds like spaghetti, something with pasta, but that's what it's called. Kundalini teaches that at the base of your spine. Alicia, you're my chief anatomical scientist. What is that bone, it's part of your spine, at the base of your spine called? What is that called? Sacrum. Do you know why? Sacrum means the holy place. Kundalini teaches that there is a serpent, a beast, located in your sacrum. Okay? Which, by the way, you ever seen that little picture of the devil with pitchfork and that arrow tail? Your spine looks like that. It's an upside down arrow is what it is. And they teach you have a beast down there, and he's locked up down in there, and he wants out. Okay? And so you have to achieve this altered mental state so that he can rise up the 33 bones of your spine and be in the most high place of your head. Okay? Kundalini is nothing but what Satan wants in Isaiah 14. He wants to go from here all the way up to the top to be like the most high. Who's the head in our body analogy? Christ. Satan wants to be right here. Where's the mark going to be on everybody? Right here in the most high place. Where's the book? They want to put a mark right here in everybody's right hand. Okay, the symbolism is there, people. I'm trying to understand it, but I'm telling you that's what's going on. What did I tell you? Psalm 2? Look at this. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Look at verse 2. The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together. Haman and King Ahasuerus are fixing to enter into a conspiracy against the Lord and against who? His anointed. Okay? Number one, the anointed is Christ. Number two, his anointed are those who have received of his Spirit. We have received the anointing of Christ. We are in Christ. We are part of his Spirit. Does that make sense to everybody? Listen, in order to get to Christ, they will go to you. They're outlawing, and they're going to continue to outlaw things that are fundamental doctrines that we have. Do you believe that? Who are they trying to get to? Us. Against the Lord, and against Christ, and against his people, his anointed. Okay? Does everybody understand that? There is a conspiracy. Amen. All right, now, back to Esther, chapter 3. Let's see. That was verse 1. That only took 45 minutes. You're all, listen, there's no way I'm going to touch this yet, but you're going to like this. Now look at your Bible. Verse 2. And all the king's servants that were in the king's gate bowed and reverenced Haman. For the king had so commanded concerning him. But Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence. Somebody say amen. Woo! That's called attitude. Amen. Watch this. You know what bowing is? Falling. You know what Mordecai... Here comes, watch this. Here's Haman now. Haman's done got this big exalted... He's in the seat now above all the princes of King Ahasuerus' king. This is a massive kingdom, by the way. He's got the top position amongst all the advisors and the princes. And it's been ordered that all the king's servants bow and reverence King Haman. And Haman's walking around. You can just see him. Satan's thing was pride. I will be like the Most High. So he's walking around. And he is, watch this now, he's going to demand that you bow before him, that you kneel before him. His goal is to be worshipped. So that he is God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. You're going to worship him or else. So he's walking around. All these men are falling down before Haman. Haman's walking around, and there's Mordecai standing there going. Head cocked a little to the right here, a little attitude going on here. And Haman walks by him, stares him, and Mordecai's just going, I ain't bound before you. I don't know who you think you are, but I don't serve anybody except the living God. Amen? Boy, that is attitude. Amen? Now, let's go here. Let's make it real. Let's go to Luke chapter 4. My. Luke chapter 4, verse 1, Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. Jesus answered him, saying, It is written, That man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Amen. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me to whomsoever I will give it. If therefore thou wilt worship me, all shall be thine. In other words, you bow before me, and I will give you all these kingdoms. The devil demanded Jesus, who is at, if God's the Most High, Jesus is right next to him at his right hand. Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Did you know that new translations pervert that verse? They pervert it in such a way as it does not say that he thought it. I can't remember what the NIV says, but it destroys the doctrine of the equality of Christ with God the Father. Destroys it. Perverts it. Think about it. Think about who put that in those Bibles. The one who wants to reduce Christ to a lower position so that he could be above him. Why doesn't it make sense? I read this and I get this, and I didn't graduate Bible college. Now I understand it. Maybe that's my problem. Okay? But he said, bow before me, worship me. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. By that phrase, get thee behind me, Satan. They took that one out too, of the new Bibles. Think about it. The devil's looking at that going, boy, it makes me mad he said that. I'll make sure that's taken out of every Bible that I can get my hands on. And boy, they ripped it right out. Amen. Listen, your role on this planet of being one of the people that God is using to preserve His Word is crucial. Because they're falling right and left. People that you never thought would be out of the King James are now moving out of it. Okay? You guys hang on to that book like grim death. Amen? Anyway, that's all I'm going to read. But let's go back to Esther very quickly. Now look at this. Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence. Verse 3, then the king's servants, which were in the king's gate, said unto Mordecai, why transgressest thou the king's commandment? You remember who Mordecai is. He's Christ. Christ doesn't bow. He does not bow. Now it came to pass, when they spake daily unto him, and he hearkened not unto them. I better read this in my Bible because it's cut off here. Where are we at, Esther? What page is that? I'm just kidding. Anyway, I won't be able to find it quickly. Anyway, it came to pass, when they spake daily unto him, he hearkened not unto them, that they told Haman to see whether Mordecai's matters would stand, for he had told them he was a Jew. Watch this. Here it is. And when Haman saw that Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence, then was Haman full of wrath. Somebody read verse 6. It's cut off on my deal here. And he thought scorn to lay hands. Read that, Ryan. Okay, we're going to stop right here. Not only now, Haman is so angry and so wrathful because it doesn't matter. Listen to me. The devil is not going to stop when he thinks he's had enough. He will never have enough. He will never have enough followers. He will never have enough people. He will not have enough until he has it all. So when he sees Mordecai not bowing, and he then understands that Mordecai is a Jew, now his wrath is not only upon Mordecai, but upon every Jew. Now listen to me. Here's your lesson. You are a Jew. Grafted in, wild olive branch, grafted into the tree, by reason of adoption, you're born again as sons of God. They are not all Israel who are of Israel. We are the Israel of God, and the Jews who will be brought back in will be the Israel of God. It'll be all of us together. Does everybody understand that? Read Revelation 7 and you'll get it. Okay? They're all in the same chapter together. We're all one happy family. But look at your Bible. Haman hates Christ, and he hates everybody that belongs and is related to Christ. So his wrath, my friends, is not just to Christ. He's after Esther. Esther right now is hidden. See that? Who's Esther? The soul. Where's your soul? Hidden. Right now, Esther's hidden. And we're going to find out. Mordecai's going to tell her, look, if you think you're going to be safe when they try to bring me down, you're wrong. Okay? We're going to start getting this picture now that when Esther realizes that she's condemned, she decides she wants to do something about it. Okay? That was the day when your soul got under conviction. When you realized that your soul was condemned, your soul said, I'm not up with that. I'm going to do something about that. Amen? Let's stand to our feet.